Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Now, today I want to kind of wrap up our 5 points on how to be more on fire for God and be less of a stinker, if you will, to use my grandmother's term, as it relates to being spiritual. As I pointed out before, the first thing that we do is have the desire. This desire is our cooperating with grace that comes from beforehand. It should develop into a resolution where we make a commitment. We decide to persevere. It's a decision, that come now, let us reason together moment, where we really make a decision for Christ and really determine we're going to live a Christian life. It should develop into our understanding and knowing more about the things of God. This is the third stage of really having our thinking right. Because when we have our thinking right, our actions are right, and our actions will lead to us becoming more sanctified and holy. One of the actions where we cooperate with grace and get deeper into the perseverance and commitment and really get our thinking right is the thinking of how we approach communion, how we approach worship, how we approach God as an individual. We don't treat his service like punching a time clock. It's not a duty. It's a relationship that we're developing with him. And as a part of that relationship, probably the most important part is communication. And this is why the fifth and most necessary means of anything in spiritual life, and really for obtaining a true love for Jesus Christ, is having prayer. I'll never forget as a child listening to my parents talk, and one day my mother basically pointed out to me something that has really come true for the rest of my life. It's that when people stop communicating, when they really stop listening to each other and talking to one another, that's when the relationship's over. That's when everything dies. And I can see this in every relationship that I've had in life. When there's a lack of communication, when you're more about having secrets and not telling people what's going on, the relationship's over. You've moved into a territory to where you no longer have a relationship. This goes with human beings. This also goes with God. And this is why prayer is so important. We need to understand, in the first place, how much God loves us and what his great love is. And there's no more greater proof of affection that a person can give to a friend than to really understand how available they are to you. Our Lord kind of points this out in Luke 11, verse 9, when he says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Search, and you will find." Prayer is meant to be all-powerful with God to obtain every blessing. Prayer is the only one thing that can accomplish all things. This is why when we talk about the man that goes to his friend at midnight, he goes, "Hey, I need to ask you for these loaves because I got somebody. Will you get it for me?" And we're told that even though it's late at night because the person continues to ask, the friend gives it to him. And this is this thing that we have with God. We understand that we can obtain from God whatever it is that we want, provided that it's within certain rules of a relationship. Because if you're truly going to be a person asking in the name of Jesus Christ, you need to be in the relationship where you can ask in the place of somebody else. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, this is really what Psalm 66, verse 20 is telling us. When it says, "Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me." St. Augustine basically said, commentating on this passage, "As long as you see that you are not failing in prayer, you can rest assured that God's mercy will not fail you either. Because the true proof of your fellowship with God comes out of prayer. When you truly are a praying saint, you will experience being with God as often as possible." This is why we're told by St. Paul, I believe in, I think it's 1 Thessalonians, the very first written book of the New Testament that we know of, that we're to pray without ceasing. Everything and everywhere we're supposed to be praying. And we'll always get an answer to things if we truly pray and seek God's face, because it may not necessarily be the answer that we want. It may be clarification about what God knows is best for us. But in the end, we're always praying for what God truly wills. I mean, it's his kingdom come, his will be done. Not my will, but your will, Father, be done. Be it done unto me, as Mary said, according to your word, not according to my wishes. See, this is what Abraham understood as faith, as talked about in Romans 4. It's not that he called those things that be not as though they were. He knew a God who calls things that be not as though they were, because he was the one that said, you are the father of many nations. So Abraham did not consider his own situation. He considered the God that spoke to him and believed in him. Because if we truly understand how God acts, we will understand that if we're poor in anything, the only people we have to blame is ourselves. It's we who want to be poor and don't desire any kind of pity because we're not seeking God properly. This is the reality of what it is. This is who we are if we really understand that the Lord is generous to all who call upon him. This is what Romans 10:12 is talking about. If you truly call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved, is this declaration from Romans 10. And that saved is in a lot of times an answer to our prayers. If we truly humbly pray, we can obtain whatever it is we're humbly praying for from God, because we realize at the same time exactly what God desires for us and what we truly need. Not what we crave, not what we lust after, but what we truly need. It's not about having the $300 million Mega Millions. It's about realizing how much of our bills we really need to have resolved today. And if we truly provide ourselves an opening to spend time with God and love God as we ought, we'll truly receive the answers, because the sufficient grace that God gives everyone is something that really allows us to become more holy, more sanctified, more right in God's eyes. And this is why we continue to pray for the things that we need, because if we don't pray for it, we won't receive it, and we'll become lost because of it. This is why when praying in particular about the grace of final perseverance, that is of dying in the grace of God, which is absolutely necessary for our salvation, and without which we would be lost forever, that we need to pray for that grace. We need to realize that we're not once saved, always saved, but we continue to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. That salvation is not just it was, it is, and it will be, because we're looking for the blessed hope that we have ahead of us. Even though faith is the substance of things hoped for, it does not materialize that hope if we do not pray and earnestly desire, resolve, make a firm decision of our mind, focus upon the real knowledge of what it is, and truly receive it, not as a punching of a time clock, but as a part of a relationship, and really talk to him about it. All of our fathers of the church that have been in the very beginning of Christianity to today tell us that we need to really know that in prayer that we need to persevere and to truly latch on to God as our hope. Every time we go to Mass, we are praying for the grace of eternal perseverance, that final perseverance, that staying in the state of grace, especially right before we go up to communion, because we say, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. What are you praying for there? You're praying for the grace of final perseverance, of being able to truly stay with God and die in the state of grace in order to truly receive salvation, because he's the one that speaks the word. He's the one that comes under your roof. And if we truly pray for it, we'll overcome temptation and the dangers of falling into disgrace with God, because we're continually talking to him. We're continually keeping the open door of faith that comes through the channel of communion and truly receives him as he is. Because this is what Jesus is trying to tell us in Luke 18, verse 1, when he says that we need to pray always and not lose heart. And then he tells us about the widow and the judge. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, as I've already stated, told us we need to pray continually without ceasing in everything. Because it's no sooner that we stop making our case with God that the devil finally conquers us. Because the more we pray and the more we seek out the grace of perseverance, that we find it in prayer as something the Lord dispenses unto us who truly asked him for it. We need to truly be importunate. We need to truly be stubborn and not give up, because we need to really seek out the grace of God for truly serving him all of our lives. Because he'll not only hear us, but he will certainly and graciously give it to us as a way of showing us his love. But these are the things that we need to be aware of. Because if we don't ask for grace of God, God cannot, in his infinite goodness, pour himself out for us and give it to us, because we won't be able to receive it if we don't desire it. A cup that has things in it cannot be filled anymore. Anything that gets put in it pushes what's in it out. So you have to be an empty vessel seeking to really receive the grace of God so that you can be saved. And it's only then that the potter can truly fill your cup so that you can receive the grace of God. If we truly wish to remain in God's grace until death, we must always play the part of being beggars and keeping our mouths open in prayer to God for help, by always repeating, "O my Jesus, have mercy. Do not let me be separated from you. O Lord, come to my aid. My God, help me." This needs to be the unceasing prayer of everyone, because this was the prayer of the ancient fathers of the desert that started the monastic movement in the third and fourth centuries of Christianity. We need to put forth the words of Psalm 70, verse 1, where we asked, "O God, if you're pleased to make haste and help me, deliver me." We need to have the help of the Lord to help us quickly and not delay in our assistance. Because every day in the divine office, at least in four of the offices, if you do the minimum reading, or at least two, the morning and evening prayer, if you're doing the minimum reading, you're going to say in one of them, "God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me." And then say, "The glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, will be forever. Amen. Alleluia." And go into the office that you're reading and praying about. Because this is what we're really supposed to be seeking. We're supposed to be seeking the Lord's help, the Lord's assistance. Otherwise, we're going to see ourselves as perishing. Because when we are in temptation, if we don't seek God's hand, we'll never receive the ability to rise above. And this is why God promises that all who pray, that if we ask, we will receive. This is the whole point of praying in Jesus' name, of John 16:24. Because as St. Augustine once said, "How can you doubt a God who binds himself by a very express promise to give you what favors you asked of him?" In truly committing ourselves to God and giving us to him in a short confidence that he will hear us, we can know that we receive this perseverance that we're seeking of him. Because this is what Jesus Christ really wants us to know. As Mark 11:24, the famous faith passage that everybody jumps on, that whatever we ask for in prayer, if we believe we receive it, it will be ours. Well, knowing that you're a sinner that does not need to be heard doesn't change the fact that Jesus said that everyone who asks receives. Think about that. When Jesus is talking about the Our Father in Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter, at verse 10, he says, "Everyone who asks receives." Are you truly asking of God? Or are you doing something other than asking? I mean, this is a question we need to really understand, because it's not that we're a sinner, so we're not asking. James puts it this way: you have not because you ask not. And if you asked, you're asking incorrectly. So, here's the thing. Are you asking? That's first. Second, are you asking incorrectly? One of the ways you can ask incorrectly is that you desire it for the wrong purposes. You desire to receive it upon your own desires, your own lust, your own failings, your own sinfulness, instead of truly asking as a representative of Christ. Because the power of prayer to obtain graces does not depend on our merits, but upon the mercy of God, who has promised to hear everyone who prays. Realize what Jesus said in John 16:23. If you ask anything of the Father in my name, three key words, in my name, he will give it to you. He's telling you, it's not that we're trying to obtain grace for ourselves, it's that we're trying to obtain it from the Son who died for us and loved us. So we need to mark out the phrase, in my name, which means in the name of our Savior. In other words, the grace that we ask for must relate to our eternal salvation. Aha, there's the hinge. Because how can you ask for something if it's going to lead you only to hell? That's why you can't just ask for the millions and millions that are in the Powerball or the Mega Millions or in some lottery. Why you can't, strive for the wrong individual to marry. Because at the end of the day, God is concerned about one thing. What brings you to heaven? What puts you in his blessed presence for all eternity? So we asked in Jesus' name. The Lord's promise has nothing to do with temporal favors. They are good only for our eternal welfare. He grants answer to prayer when we truly ask for things that lead us to persevere for the rest of our lives to end up in heaven. Because he does not want us to gain one thing of the world and lose our soul. Think about that. Really get this. This is really the most important thing we need to understand. When we go forward to God for our temporal favors or things of this earth, we need to understand how they benefit our soul. We need to want spiritual graces where there's no conditions required of them. That way we can truly say with confidence, Eternal Father, in the name of Jesus, deliver me from temptation. Give me holy perseverance. Give me your love. Give me that beatitude of seeing you face to face. Eternal paradise. This is the sort of grace that we can ask Jesus Christ in his name, that is through his merits, and truly receive, as John 14:14 says, if you ask in my name anything, I will do it. When we pray to God, let us remember to commend ourselves to our Mother Mary, who is a dispenser of graces. Because as Saint Bernard once said, Almighty God, who is the giver of grace, distributes it through the hands of a loving mother, Mary. So let us seek grace and seek it through Mary, because what she seeks, she will find, because she can't be refused. And she prays for all of us to receive the blessed grace of having Christ formed in us. And this is where Mary's prayers are always heard, because they're never turned down, because they're not about anything of a temporal need or want. Hear about our eternal salvation. So as a Catholic, we have more than just Jesus, more than just God. We have the prayers of all the saints, of all the brothers and sisters that we have, people who want our welfare, people like pastors in Protestantism that pray for their sheep. I mean, let's think about it. What is the communion of saints really? But just a loving family that truly wants the best for everyone in the family. Do you think your mom wants you to have the best job in the world? Do you think your friends and those that really love you want what's bad for you? Don't you pray for one another as you ought? Well, that's where Mary comes in. And experiencing talking with Mary allows us to understand that no one can truly say they love God if they hate their brother whom they see. You know those around you that you would pray for. Why would it be surprising that the saints would pray for you? Think about that. And truly understand that when you truly ask in Jesus' name, you're not asking for things that will lead you away from heaven, but really lead you to heaven. And with that, we turn to our Lord and pray. O Jesus, my love, I am determined to love you as much as I can, and I really truly want to be a saint. I want to become a saint so I can give you pleasure and love you as greatly as I possibly can in this life, and continue so in the eternal life that awaits for me after death. I can do nothing by myself, but you alone can do all things. I know that you want me to become a saint. I can already see that because of your grace, my soul cries out for you and seeks no one but you. For I no longer want to live for myself. You desire me to be completely and entirely yours, and therefore I desire to be entirely committed to you. Come and join yourself to me and unite me to yourself like a branch on a vine. And let your infinite goodness, which has loved me so much, truly make me more loving and very lovable to others. How can I love anything but you? I prefer your love to everything in the world. You are the only object, the only goal of my affections, the husband that I would want to take home and keep forever. I abandon everything so as to be entirely absorbed in my love for you, who are my creator, my redeemer, my consolation, my everything. I will not despair of becoming a saint because of any offenses in my past life, because I know, my Lord Jesus, that you died to pardon all those who truly repent. And I love you with my entire heart and give you my entire being so that I may love you more than myself. And I regret more than anything else having despised you, the sovereign good God who truly loves me. I am no longer someone who owns myself. I am yours. You are the God of my heart. Dispose of me as you determine. In order to please you, I accept all the tribulations which you wish to send me, whether it be sickness, sorrow, distress, ignominy, poverty, persecution, and desolation. I accept it all to please only you, just as I accept whatever death you have prepared for me and any of the anguish and trials that may accompany it as I go through life. Just grant me the grace to love you completely and totally. Lend me your help, give me your strength, so that I may love and be everything to me that makes what's left of my life truly about my love for you. And Queen of Heaven, Mother of God, great advocate of sinners, I place my trust in you to truly make this possible with your Son, my Mother of perpetual help. Amen. If you've truly prayed this prayer and really understood these messages these last couple days, I guarantee you one thing. Your life will truly be a blessing.